And welcome to the Raz Blitz podcast. I'm your host, Matt Bowie, and joining me tonight, we're rolling solo. I got Reed Cashmanian on the line. Reed, how you doing?
Doing okay. Just, I'm going to be honest, this weather sucks.
Oh,
I'm in Buffalo. It's been snowing the last like 3 or 4 days. It is just terrible.
Yeah,
April 17th.
Yeah, we're getting near snow tomorrow, and it's going to be awful. Like, my kid was supposed to have baseball practice today, and I'm coaching, and I'm not going to make them practice in 45-degree weather. He had soccer practice, but that's totally different because you're just using your feet. But when it comes to baseball, no one wants to hit a baseball with a metal bat when it's 45 degrees. So, yeah, I don't understand how the MLB players are doing it, but props to them because it's been a miserable April pretty much all around the country except for in the South. So we're just going to hit a couple news points today. There's no real big draft news or anything, but I wanted to get your thoughts on Dez Bryant. What did you think of him getting cut, and where do you think he's going to end up?
So we talked about this, I believe, during the lead-in to free agency podcast, where we kind of speculated about the idea of, is Dez even going to be back with Dallas? The only thing this really does for me is it solidifies the idea that Dallas is drafting a wideout in the first round. I am very confident in that belief. In terms of what impact does it have on Dez and where does he go? The problem with him being cut now or a few days ago is that all of the landing spots are kind of filled up, right? Like, anybody who needed a wideout signed wideouts already. So there's only like a few places that in theory he could go, especially with cap space. Like, I don't think the Jets are going to sign him.
That's interesting.
I mean, they have a lack of talent at wide receiver. The Bills have an obvious lack at wide receiver in terms of talent, but that's just not the type of guy the Bills are signing. Everyone says the Ravens. I don't know why everyone keeps saying the Ravens. Like, they signed like two wideouts, and they don't throw to the wideout anyways. They just throw to the running backs and tight ends and fullbacks because Baltimore.
Because I think that's where Flacco's arm can get it. Flacco has an amazing arm, but it sounds like Baltimore's interested, and I wouldn't mind it for him. It is opposite of Michael Crabtree, and with John Brown running in the slot, maybe they could. It like you said, it doesn't make much sense with the way they play offense, and as far as I know, they haven't made any big changes to the coaching staff, but maybe they just have never really had the talent that they wanted at the wide receiver position to let loose to the outside. But it's purely speculative now, and he's really changing his time, or he's really taking his time. I thought by the time that we record this podcast, he would be signed somewhere now. But his original thought, it sounded like, was that he wanted to stay in the NFC East, and obviously, with Washington, we thought it was sneaky, but Doxson's already there, and Crowder plays the slot. And who did they sign to play the outside this offseason?
Oh, man, I have no idea.
They signed a smaller name, yeah.
I was going to say, that should tell you how impactful I think it'll be on the outside. That's another team where it is Jordan Reed whenever he's healthy. So, like, for 3 games a year at the tight end position, they'll throw to. Jamison Crowder will get a ton of looks. They like Dotson a lot. He'll be their outside threat. They throw the ball to Chris Thompson out of the backfield, run it with Samaje Perine. Like, they're not a team scheme-wise, Jay Gruden, that they'd want, like, does Dez even fit there?
Does Dez fit anywhere, really?
that's the problem, is does he work any, like, he's obviously better than some of the starting wideouts in this league. The problem is, at what price? Like, how much are you going to pay him?
It's, and yeah,
like, that's the problem. Like, you can't you don't want to pay him that much, and you even want to, like, even if you take a 1 year flyer on him, you still don't want to pay him that much.
So
you don't want to pay him what he's commanding.
So what do you think about the 49ers? Because they need another wide receiver. I mean, Shanahan can turn a lot of things into gold. They really don't have a big receiver, like kind of Dez is. And I mean, that doesn't always fit every scheme. But I mean, he did wonders with Julio Jones for a few years in Atlanta. So I was thinking maybe that would be a possible landing spot if he maybe wanted to take a pay cut if they weren't offering that much money, because it doesn't sound like they've had any interest, really.
If Dez would... If I were advising Dez, I would say you go to San Fran on like a one, you'd go on a 1 year deal. I think no matter where you go, you go on a 1 year deal, especially to San Fran, because Jimmy Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan will find a way to get you the ball and get you production. So the second thing is you have to understand, I'm not nearly as high on Dak Prescott as almost anybody else is. How much of Dez's decline the past, 3 years has been because of the quarterback play in Dallas?
Oh, it's definitely right. Because so Tony Romo's not there anymore. I mean,
right. So then it comes down to is Dez declining physically, or is it because the offense is tailored away from him, or is it some combination of both? Because it can be both.
I don't have the numbers in front of me, but the targets aren't there. The targets per game definitely went down. It was very frustrating as a Dez owner this year, because you were able to get him for kind of a discount, but it just didn't pan out in the fantasy world.
Like who on the Dallas Cowboys would you want to own in fantasy? You would want to own Ezekiel Elliott. You would want to own Dak Prescott, who I have as a QB, your backup quarterback, but a lot of people have him as like the QB 12 overall.
Yeah, that's about where I have him because of his running ability.
Right? Like, who else would you really want? Like, what other wide receiver on that team really scares you?
I mean,
it's got to be nobody, right?
You never know when Terrence Williams is going to have a good game.
Well, they also signed two people too. They signed Alan Hearns and they signed Deontay Thompson. But even before, like the past 2 years with Dak there, what wide receiver really blew up? Nobody. It was what, Cole Beasley in PPR leagues? Like, that's it.
Yeah, there was like, there's a big Cole Beasley kind of society within the deeper leagues of fantasy football who were in love with him, and he just didn't have the season this year that he did in 2016. I believe he had a pretty decent PPR year, but I think his numbers went down this past year a little bit. But yes, I don't know. Dallas, Ezekiel Elliott, Dak Prescott, is Jason Witten coming back?
Yeah, he came back on a discount. Okay. He restructured his deal.
I mean, but I'm a late tight end guy, so.
I'm early. See, you and I differ on that. I am early on the tight ends. I'm all for forcing Travis Kelce in the fourth round.
Okay,
if
so.
If I'm picking early or if I'm picking late in the third round, I will force a Travis Kelce selection.
What's your thinking behind that?
He has the production in terms of yards, catches, touchdowns.
So just a positional advantage.
Yes. It's a matchup I'm going to win every week for unless the opponent has Gronk. And at that point, Gronk is healthy. But like I'll say this, people who would take Gronk in the first or second rounds, I thought were nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Because Travis Kelce stays healthy, except for when he gets lit up in the playoff game, but that doesn't matter for fantasy.
No.
Travis Kelce stays healthy. Gronk doesn't. And if you're going to invest that early in I'm going to win this position every single week, they need to be out there for 16 games. You need to have them out there for 16 games. You can't have 10 games of your player. Like, that, it's just not how it works. This is just not good value then.
Yeah. So this is actually a pretty good lead into our next topic. And I really wish Zach was here to talk to us about this tonight, because, I mean, wow, it's going to be a shit show out in Boston. There are two reports. There's either A, the Patriots are going to trade Gronkowski before the season begins, or B, he's just not going to play football again. I am leaning towards B. I don't think he's going to play another snap in the NFL, at least in 2018. You could always get the desire down the line, but I mean, it just doesn't sound like he's fully invested. So what do you think, Reed? Can he walk away from $8 million next year?
Yes. Everyone thinks Gronk is just a goofball and a partier, which, I mean, I don't think they're wrong. What I think goes under the radar is how smart he is with his money.
Right.
And it's actually kind of funny how this works. His salary, it's so there's two sources of income he has. He has his advertising money and he has his salary.
Mm-hmm.
His salary and bonus, he just saves. Mm-hmm. He just he puts all of it into his savings account. He doesn't touch it. He lets it, the interest grow on it. Like, he's just building up a bank. The play money that he uses for, like, his house or his, or like his party boat or whatever, that's all from endorsements and advertisements.
That Dunkin' Donuts, like, baby.
Yeah, like, he doesn't actually, he's actually really good with saving money. And I don't think he'll actually need, I don't think he needs to keep playing. That's the thing. Like, how many years of endorsements do you think he'll still get?
He could, like, be in the
WWE. Who's to say he can't? Yeah, what, right? I know what you're going to say.
Yeah.
WWE.
Yes.
Who's to say he can't do that? Who's to say he doesn't go on and start doing movies like John Cena and Wannabe?
Yeah.
Like, who's to say he doesn't all of a sudden become the next Dwayne Johnson, The Rock?
People, like, love that stuff.
Right? And maybe it's just because I watched the Andre the Giant documentary earlier today.
Let's talk about it a little later, because I watched it this weekend too.
Oh my God, I was crying at the end.
Me too. I hate when people die alone. Like, but go on.
I don't think Gronk needs it, and his body has just been through an absolute beatdown throughout his career. He plays with what looks like a cybernetic arm every time with that ridiculous cast,
mm-hmm,
or the brace on his left arm, like it, or right arm, or whatever fucking arm it is. It's just hard to watch and sit there and say, no, he's definitely coming back for another one. That, coupled with the reports of he and Belichick really don't get along.
He called out a star player in front of the entire team for a choice in trainer. I mean, if you're a very rich man, are you going to put up with that shit? But yeah, I mean, go on.
Yeah, it's just a matter of maybe the message is just getting old with him. And apparently it's getting old with Brady too, which is interesting.
Yeah. To say the least. Yeah, it's things don't add up in New England. The only thing that does really make sense, and the Patriots will deny it to the death of them, is the Wickersham report. Each storyline, it makes more and more sense, and it becomes a little bit less ridiculous. And I don't know how much you bought into it, like, say, what percentage wise of that report you bought into when it first came out in, I think it was January, was it?
Because it was during the playoffs.
Yeah. So how much of it did you buy into right away?
I bought into a lot of it right away. First, Seth Wickersham does a lot of good reporting. That reporting had to be vetted by multiple people in order for it to ever be published. which tells me that the sourcing had to be rather good or rather of high quality. And I just don't like that's such a bold article to write unless you're like 99% confident that it's true, that it's just truthful. And the more that we hear out of the Patriots, more reporting by local Boston affiliates, local Boston like news stations, the more it almost confirms that there is this animosity between Belichick, Brady, the players,
Kraft.
Kraft, and stuff like that. So,
Who do you
like,
think they'll never release it, but who do you think spoke? Because one of the big three had to have a source out there that they just told, like, yes, tell them this.
I don't think it had to be the big three.
You don't think so?
I think it was some of the other players who just knew about this. For example, like Danny Amendola's comments talking about Bill Belichick saying, yeah, that it's just worn down, like we're sick of hearing about it. That's a really loud thing to say
It really is.
In like a quiet tone. Like that's a really loud statement to make. So I'm not like completely convinced that it had to be one of the big three. If you were telling me which of the big three said it, it's definitely not anyone with Kraft. I'm just eliminating him right away. I'd guess Brady,
Okay. Yeah,
but
because the
if
story really
anything,
leaned Brady, like, really sympathized with him and kind of the Guerrero thing. And
right, but if anything, like it paints Guerrero as sort of like a shady doctor, which makes me think that it would have been a Belichick type thing. But Belichick doesn't really care about that stuff in terms of like, oh, I want the media to hear this. Like he
right.
doesn't really care.
He doesn't want the media to
So,
really hear anything.
exactly.
Yeah, but yeah, back to Gronk before we move on. So say he does play, which it sounds like both of us think that he just won't in 2018 at least. Who can make that move? I mean, we already talked about cap space when it came to Dez Bryant. But really, who can make that move and what would it cost? Say this move happens in the next 2 weeks, as far as draft picks or as far as a 2019 draft pick. And we can't even speculate on players. There's so many players in the NFL. What makes sense to you?
Like a trade for
Yeah,
Gronk,
yeah.
it would, holy Christ, I could see a team like the 49ers reaching out. I could see a team like the Rams reaching out. I like those are the two teams when you ask me who do I think would make that trade, those are the two that instantly pop in my head. Houston, I don't think has the capital to do it. Not this year. And like, are they really going to give up? Like, what are you trading for Gronk?
It'd have to
That's the
be
thing. Like,
draft picks
what?
at this point.
Right, but which draft picks? There's a difference
Okay.
between giving up your first round pick, like what Odell Beckham is being asked for, and then giving up, say, like a fourth round pick for like what Randy Moss fetched from Oakland.
If I knew Gronk was going to play 2 more years, I think a third round pick would be worth it. And that's all I'm giving up because of his health history.
If I got 2 more years out of Gronk and I'm the Bills, I trade a third round pick for him.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
I think a lot if it's 2 years of Gronk, I think a lot of teams would trade a third round pick. The problem is that for Buffalo, New England would never trade him in the division. So
No, probably not. Unless they knew he wouldn't accept it, but they wouldn't get the draft pick and, all that stuff. CJ Anderson got released from Denver. So CJ Anderson really hasn't been a very good fantasy asset the last couple years, but it's to no fault of his own. I mean, he just doesn't get the carries. I mean, this guy's popping off 5 yards a carry on first and second down, and Denver just puts in another running back, and at the end of the day, he has 13 carries for 50 yards and didn't find the end zone. So it's very frustrating for people who owned CJ Anderson last year to watch that unfold when he really, I mean, he looked like a 1,000-yard rusher. I think this sounds homer, and I'm going to sound like you with the Bills, but I think Tampa's a really good fit for CJ Anderson. And
I actually agree with that.
I don't think he'll cost a lot of money. Tampa has a lot of holes to fill in the draft, and at least a couple on the defensive side, and they could always use another offensive lineman. So if you don't have to worry about running back, and you get a good running back in free agency that doesn't cost very much, and you have Peyton Barber also backing him up, I think that's a fine running game. And this is a passing team in the first place, so I think that'd really help James Winston out. So is there any other teams that come to your mind as far as the CJ Anderson fit?
Of teams that need a running back?
I know, right?
I could see the Giants taking a swing on it, but they already signed Jonathan Stewart. They have, who is it? Wendell? No.
No, they have. Who's the kid out of Clemson? The Clemson kid, yeah. I can't remember his name either.
Yeah, Jesus.
We've been talking so much football.
No, Wayne Gallman. There it is.
There it
Wayne
is. Gallman.
Jesus Christ, that took way too long.
It did.
They have Wayne Gallman too. They could, but I don't think they would. I think they'd rather just draft one in like the third round or take Barkley first and just, okay. And by first, I mean with the second overall pick, which I think that would be, I'm trying to think of in terms of how much of a mistake that would be. That would be well up there in my mind in terms of mistakes to make, would be taking Barkley second for the Giants.
I thought you were all for it.
So the thing is, value-wise, you're picking second.
Yeah, and it doesn't make sense financially.
Financially, it makes no sense. It does nothing for you. It doesn't help you with the other problems. If you're thinking he's going to come in and be better than Ezekiel was his rookie year, well, I got a problem for you then. One, your offensive line is horrendous compared to what the Cowboys had.
Five Pro Bowlers.
Right. It's awful compared to what the Cowboys had. And that's even with adding Nate Solder at left tackle. Moving Ereck Flowers to right tackle is not going, in my mind, not going to be the answer. They have a lot of holes on defense. I keep saying that the Giants should be looking to trade down and just acquire as many picks as possible.
Them and the Colts.
I still think the Colts. It's interesting for the Colts though, because if the Giants trade down, so then you'd have. I'm assuming it would be quarterbacks 1, 2, 3. Then you have Chubb or Barkley go 4. Let's assume Barkley for just game theory. Then if the Broncos take Chubb, or let's say Chubb goes 4 to Cleveland, are the Broncos really going to take Barkley at 5? I'm not convinced.
I think he's falling to 6 or 7. I could see someone trading up to 6.
Right. I could see,
because the Colts could probably want to trade down.
Yeah, it's tough to see who would trade up though.
The Patriots have 2 first round picks, and say that.
Yeah.
And they have
how much? No, that's the problem though. In order to get him, you'd have to get up to where? You'd have to get up to 6, right?
Yeah, but I'm not talking about the Patriots taking him. I'm talking about them trading up. If he makes it past 4, then he's going to drop. If Tampa signs CJ Anderson, they're not going to take him at 7. The Bears have Jordan Howard. They don't need him at 8. The 49ers, Jerick McKinnon, they don't need him at 9. Oakland Raiders, they have a plethora of running backs in wheelchairs. They won't take him. The Dolphins signed... Nope. This could be something. He could fall.
Yeah, it would be really interesting if that happened. Like, I'll tell you this. I think if he's there at 6 and the Colts haven't moved back, I almost think the Colts take him.
Yeah, they should. If they don't if move back, there, they should trade like, back.
Right. Like the only way I see the Colts trading back is if of the big three blue chippers. So there's three blue chippers. We've talked about this before. It's Nelson, Chubb, and Barkley.
Correct.
If
I would, Chubb and you've heard me say this, I'd throw in Derwin James too. I think he's a
blue chipper. He was talked about before the season being one of these blue chippers, but he sort of dropped off a little bit. If Chubb and Barkley are both gone before 6, I'm not sure the Colts pull the trigger on Nelson. I think Nelson then goes at 7 or 8, depending on whether the Bucks like him or not.
How in your right mind could you pass on Quentin Nelson when you have a quarterback who hasn't played in 20-some games and hasn't thrown a real football yet? Like, where how many more red flags can you not see to not take the best offensive lineman in the past few years? Well, I just don't get it. How can you see them passing on him?
I don't know, but I've seen weirder things.
Yeah, happen. That's true.
So
I think that has to be a lock if Quentin
Nelson's there. I mean, if Josh Allen goes first, then anything's possible in this draft. Yeah,
definitely. I hope it happens. I just want a wild night. It'll be interesting to see. But yeah, I kind of wanted to stick with the Colts. What do you think about Andrew Luck? He hasn't thrown a real football yet. He says he feels better. He's getting there. Do you think he's ready for training camp?
I think he'll be ready.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They need to get something.
I'm not as worried about it.
Yeah. They need to get him an offensive lineman. They need more than one. I think that's all the football that's really happened this past week or so.
That's all I can think of.
But yeah, we both watched Andre the Giant this weekend. What'd you think of it?
Great. So a couple things. Vince McMahon just still comes off like a douchebag who's trying to act sincere, but he just comes off like a massive dick.
Just to build on that point a little bit, he's like, do you remember the last conversation that you had with Andre? And he's like, he paused and he was like, no, like, I tend to have this place in my mind where I just get rid of negative things. Like, that dropped my jaw. I was like, what in the fuck is wrong with this guy?
Yeah. I think the part for me where it got really sad was when they brought up the Princess Bride and they talked about how he could not like hold Robin Wright back when she was like a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
Like he couldn't like carry her. They'd have drop her on cables and because his back and then Carrie always said like, yeah, he drinks because he's in pain and how his back, his knees, his neck, his spine, like we're just all like shot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just sitting there thinking, oh my God. Like, and then it's like, oh yeah. And like a couple years later, he does WrestleMania 3. Like what the hell?
So that's where the timelines got a little mixed up for me is because that movie happened. And he can't lift. And then they alluded towards that he got the back surgery. But before that, they were talking about how he said he was going to ride it out and he was just going to go when he goes, like kind of Bob Marley style. And just he refused treatment, and then all of a sudden that movie happens, and then bam, like you said, he does WrestleMania a couple years later. But they alluded to, like I said, that he got the back surgery done. So I couldn't tell if like the back surgery didn't take, if he returned too soon. But it sounded like he hurt himself pretty bad.
Yeah, he it was just really hard to watch the ending of that. Mm. Like, also, like, the amount of drinking he did is just, good lord.
Like, 106 beers with, what's his name?
Ric Flair.
That's one thing I wanted more out of the documentary, is I really wanted more Ric Flair. Like, ever since the whole, thing that happened with Hulk Hogan a couple years ago, like, I can't really sympathize with him as a person. So that was kind of something I had to set aside for the entertainment value of the documentary, is just forget the whole N-word thing with Hulk Hogan a little bit, and just kind of relate with him a little bit, just to, you know, get through the thing. But I don't, going back to the beginning, see, I was born in 88. What year were you born in?
90.
90? So, yeah, we were never around for Andre the Giant, really. I mean, so did you watch wrestling when you were a kid?
I watched it a little bit. I never really watched WrestleMania, though.
See, I was WCW. I didn't watch WWF.
Okay.
So I was like NWO. So yeah, that's when Hulk Hogan was over there and Sting and everything. But
Yeah,
I mean, it's crazy. I had no idea about how wrestling was so regional, but like, it totally makes sense because cable TV wasn't a big deal. But I mean, it was everywhere, and there were a bunch of different federations. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that Vince McMahon Sr. was kind of the one who put it together first. But I think that's all we really have to talk about tonight. We have Westworld next week. Have you watched the trailer?
Yeah. Oh my god, I can't wait.
So I really like that they do like the symphony thing with like kind of modern songs, like they did Nirvana's Heart-Shaped Box for the preview with kind of like a symphony, and it was pretty cool. I mean, the trailer is just amazing. Like, what do you expect from this season? Like,
chaos.
Just complete chaos.
Yeah, I can't wait. It's gonna be so good.
I think that's this Sunday, isn't it?
It could be this Sunday. I'm not sure.
So we will talk about it next week. That means Jay will be on the podcast next week.
Yes.
Yes. All right, folks. We will have a draft preview next week. We will do a podcast at the beginning of the following week talking about the draft picks and where everyone landed, what we can kind of expect going into training camp, and just kind of put to rest everything that we've talked about for the past 2 months. But it was great talking to you, Reed, and we will catch you guys next week.
Yep.